Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, some years ago, I attended a workshop. The leader of that workshop began by passing out a sheet of paper. We glanced at it and realized that on that paper was an editorial. We read that editorial, and I'd like to read to you the closing paragraphs of what it said on that paper. Speaking about the day in which it was written, the editor wrote, "It is a gloomy moment in the history of our country. Not in our lifetime has there been so much deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so threatening as at this time. The domestic economic situation is in chaos. The political cauldron seethes with uncertainty. It is a sadly solemn moment. Of our troubles, no one can see the end." Those closing words, we thought at that time, might be apropos to the day in which we lived, and certainly also the day we live today. But then leader of the retreat said, that editorial was taken from Harper's Weekly of 1857. Now we all know of fear and of suffering, the darkness of our times, of our day too, the troubles have no end and see no end. We think of the world in which we live, the news that we see and hear on television, the shellings of the innocent in Syria, refugee camps overcrowded, famine and violence across Africa, and the growing poverty in our own land. Nature, seemingly troubled as never before. Floods, earthquakes, storms, unimaginable destruction. And in our own personal lives, sickness for which there appears to be no healing, problems for which there appear to be no solutions, pain for which no relief, sorrow for which no consolation, parents grieving for their children. Now, I've heard it say that people thought that perhaps the pulpit ought not to be used to express even the darkness of our day. The reality, they thought, of the weak was bad enough, so let the pulpit direct itself to the good news and to comfort. I can relate to that. But here is Micah. And Micah wrote a letter, a sermon, as it were, to the people of Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah are going through an all-time low. Chaos in the land, robberies, beatings, injustices, the poor exploited, prisoners abused, the enemy bands invading the land night upon night. Micah then concludes and says, "The wounds of the nations are incurable, Israel and Judah." In church services, We must have good news, yes. But church services, the pulpit, here in this building, your buildings, we may also, as it were, project the pain of life, the distress of living, lay it before the Lord, and say, Lord, do you see it? Do you know what we experience? Lord, here are our lives. Here are our sicknesses. Here are our troubles. Here are our problems. Lord, do you see? Brothers and sisters, owning it now together, their pain, their burdens. The more so, it seems to me, because when we think of our burdens, we think in spiritual terms. Our burdens and our pain have a spiritual dimension. That's why through all generations, people have said, why? And the very expression, that little word, why, that has so much spirituality in it. We say, Lord, why have you not brought healing? Lord, why have you not heard our prayers, it seems? I personally also find these very vexing questions, and I wish sometimes so much, I personally, and you have thought that too, that we might have more spiritual clarity. The greatest saints have known indeed the deepest spiritual struggles. In Lord's Day 1, we read that not a hair can fall from our heads. That's a quote of Matthew 10 and of Luke 21. But there are the Philippines, a poor nation, a very poor nation. And a storm broke out over it, perhaps one of the worst in the history of the globe. A psychologist said, I have made the rounds in the Philippines. The children have suffered such trauma, they will not recuperate from it for a lifetime. Our hairs all numbered. Lord, the hairs numbered of those children. But we must go back to Micah. You see what Micah does? Micah clings to the Word of God. Micah clings to God's promises. And in doing that, and he does that only toward the end of his prophecy, he refers to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is an amazing little city, has always been, probably still will. Bethlehem, a symbol of sadness. Jacob tended the sheep there down below the plains of Bethlehem. His wife Rachel was buried there. There will have been the struggle of faith in the soul of Jacob. Oh Lord, please, please let Rachel live. Lord, you know how much I love her. I cannot live without her. And Rachel died. Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Bethlehem, that's where David was. That's where David tended the sheep. David, so immensely privileged by God, and then falling into sin. Such incredible sadness, such deep failure. Ruth lived there. She'd come back from fallout, and immigration gone totally bad. Husband died. First one son died. The other son died. Call me Mara. Call me Mara. Because life for me is all bitterness. But that's where Christ was born. In Bethlehem. Into our darkness he was born. And the darkness closes in on him, even having been born. Hard on the heels of his birth, the children of Bethlehem slain. He, born into the violence and the cruelty of the human race. That's where Rachel refused to be comforted. So, we will continue. The Monday will follow the Sunday. We will be reminded of the struggle. Burdens announce their presence, but Christ, who was born into our darkness, into our pain, Christ will accompany us. I will question God's doings again sometime. But I must remember now. I must remember that I am very small, that my knowledge is so limited. I am a little human being, and my God is so big. My God is so all-merciful. My God is so strong. My God is so all-wise. My God is so all-loving. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That's our confession. I now make a resolution. And I may invite you to make a resolution. In the Advent exercise of faith, I will seek never to contemplate my evil, sadness, darkness, hopelessness, the plight of the children and the generations to come without looking at Jesus. Yes, that's what I will do. I will feel the pain. I will watch and see the limitations, the cruelty, the chaos, the injustices, and then I will think of Jesus. I will see Jesus. You will do that. You will see Jesus. And that's why we have Christmas. The keeper of his people, Jesus the Savior. Let me end by telling you of a bishop in the early Christian church. Bishop called Cyprian. Cyprian was the bishop of Carthage in North Africa. The Romans had driven him from that city, banished him from Carthage. Now his church has no pastor anymore. The elders would go to and fro among the people. They would talk with the people. They would discuss their spiritual well-being, their spiritual growth. And then the elders would write that down on pieces of paper. And someone would then deliver those pieces of paper to Bishop Cyprian. And that, I suppose, is God's divine irony. For that's how today we have still some of these spiritual advices that he then gave in answer to the questions to the people who had inquired. There lived in the church of Carthage a young Roman official called Donatus. Donatus had shown some interest in the Christian faith. But Donatus had also so many questions, so many problems, so much that he could not square with the gospel that he had now learned. The elders wrote that down too, delivered that also to Cyprian. And Cyprian wrote an answer for this young man, Donatus. I will read to you just the conclusion of that paper. Donatus salutis. It is a bad world, Donatus. An incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not, for they have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are Christians, and I am one of them. Amen.